You're all welcome for Friday morning Bhagavatam class at Balaram Desh, Sri Krishna Balaram Gaur Nitai Radhishyam, Jaya Narsingadev Temple. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 21. The chapter is entitled Conversation Between Manu and Kardam. So the place where this conversation took place is called Bindu Sarovar. Bindu means a drop. The drop of the tear fell from the lotus eyes of Lord Vishnu in appreciation of the austerities of Kardam Muni. And then it became a Bindu Sarovar. And this place, Bindu Sarovar, is on the bank of or is surrounded by river Saraswati. And this place is presently visited, can be visited by the devotees. It is in Gujarat. It is almost 150 kilometers or so from Ahmedabad towards Mount Abu or Abu Road, just on the highway. This is the place where Kardam Muni did austerities. He had a darshan of Lord Sri Vishnu. Then Lord Sri Vishnu, feeling his desire of the heart, has arranged his marriage by Swayambhu Manu's daughter Devuti. So this marriage was arranged by Lord Vishnu. Then the Swayambhu Manu and Shatrupa, the husband and wife, the first born human being on the planet by Brahmaji, they brought their daughter Devuti to this place, Bindu Sarovar. And the marriage took place at Bindu Sarovar. Kapildeva was born at Bindu Sarovar along with the 9 sisters, the daughter of Devuti. And instruction of Kapildev to Devuti, which is the second longest discourse in Bhagavatam. The first longest is Uddhava Gita, Krishna is speaking to Uddhava. The second longest discourse is Kapil, Upadesh to Devuti. That took place at that place. And in Garga Santa, that place is glorified, Bindu Sarovar, that anybody who take bath there will immediately attend the direct darshan of Krishna. And Radharani heard this after 100 years separation from Krishna. Krishna was in Dwarka and she was in Vrindavan. When she heard this statement of Garga Santa, she traveled all the way to this Bindu Sarovar. And as soon as she took bath, right there Krishna appeared along with his whole entourage, and there was a meeting of Krishna and Radha there. So this is, now they have made a little more opulent appearance of that place. A couple times we visited the devotees in that place. Anytime if anybody has a tour to Dwarka, then this should be included in that tour. The other significance of this place they called Matra Gaya. Gaya
Gaya, Gaya is one place in Bihar, Bodh Gaya. And Gaya means Gaya. And it's those who are going from here, but still they are stuck somewhere, are not going beyond, you have to go to Gaya to make them Gaya. And they actually, the Tirath there, of the holy place there is of the Vishnu Charna, Charna of Lord Vishnu in Gaya, where Mahaprabhu went actually. But this place is called Matru Gaya, for the deliverance of the mothers. Bindu Sarovar is the place where they do the final rites. So there is a Parashuram's deity there. He came for the deliverance of his mother Renuka there. So still the people go to do the mother's final rites there. So this is called Matru Gaya. So this is the place where this dialogue is taking place. But we are discussing this verse today. It's the prayer of Kardam Muni to Lord Vishnu. The first five verses of this chapter are the question asked by Vidur to Maitri. So third and fourth canto is a dialogue or samvad between Vidur and Maitri. And this is taking place in Haridwar at the bank of Ganga. So Vidur is asking question that Swayambhu Manu's family's description. I wanted to know about his two sons. Swayambhu Manu has two sons. This is the first statistics of the family on the planet. This is the first marriage between the Swayambhu Manu and Shatarupa. They are directly born from the right and left side of the Brahma. From right side Swayambhu Manu, from left side Shatarupa. And they have two sons and three daughters. Two sons, one is Uttanapad, younger one, and the elder one is Priyavrata. So fourth canto is giving the whole description of genealogy of Uttanapad. And fifth canto is giving the genealogy of Priyavrata. Then there are three daughters, Devahuti, Akuti, Prasuti. So third canto has two parts and two incarnations of Supreme Lord in the third canto. The first part is up to chapter 19 and the incarnation in this part is Varahadev. And the purpose is to establish the earth in the orbit for the creation to take place. This is the function, Kriya Pradhan Avatar. This incarnation, action-oriented incarnation. No philosophy, simple action. The second portion from chapter 28 onward till 33 is Kapil Dev, which is called Gyan Pradhan Avatar. The one who is giving transcendental knowledge. So if there is a creation, then again Lord is actually making this creation possible. And when creation takes place, then Lord imparts the knowledge how to function in this creation. So these are the two parts. And two types of creation are described in third canto. Demonic creation and divine creation. This creation is of two types. Bhagavad Gita, this verse, Jivau Imau Sarga Loke Jiva Asur Evacha. There are two types of creation, demonic and divine. So first portion describes the demonic creation of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyakashipu. And the condition for that creation is the meeting of Kashyap and Diti. Wrong time, wrong place, against the will of the husband. So these are the reasons for demonic creations. Diti means one who is to divide everything into pieces. That is the meaning of diti. Diti means one makes pieces everything. Divides everybody, diti. Aditi means one which unites everybody. And the second part has a divine creation of Swayambhu Manu and Shatrupa, and then the descendant of these two. And Kapil Dev is a divine creation as a Supreme Lord. So these are the two types of creations in third canto, two incarnations. So Kardam Muni is son of Brahma. It's from the Chaya of Brahma. Chaya means from the shadow of Brahma. Swayambhu Manu is also son of Brahma. Prakardam is the elder son, first born. So Kardam was asked by Brahmaji for creation. Please, you help me in creation. Because Brahma is a guna avatar for Rajogun for creation. So Kardam Muni, before starting creation, undergone 10,000 year austerity to prepare for creation. Srila Prabhupada writes in Purport that it was Satya Yuga, and even before that there is a history of Valmiki doing 60,000 year austerity. So anybody really who wants to do creation in this world, they must first practice austerities and regulate themselves. It's not that without austerity, if you enter into the creative function, then the creation will be really troublesome. That's what the modern day creation is, a havoc on the planet, because nobody is undergoing austerities. So Prabhupada has a special purpose on that. So Kardam Muni was doing austerity. So Vidur has asked these questions, so I want to know about Prasuti was married to Daksh Prajapati, Akuti was married to Ruchi Prajapati. What about Devuti? I want to know the story of or the history of Devuti. Because describing the character of devotees always brings the mercy of the Lord, and Lord appears in that dialogue automatically. If you discuss Devuti, then Kapil Dev will appear there. So all the narration of devotees always bring, they are the source of Krishna Katha. Krishna Katha manifests from the devotees' Katha. So Bhagavata is actually more devotees' glories. It's more devotees' glories than Bhagavata. Bhagavata means Bhakta. So first 5 verses are questions, 6 verses Maitreya is speaking, and then from 13th verse Lord appeared in front of Kardam Muni by being pleased by his austerities, and from verse 13 till 22 is a prayer by Kardam Muni. So 13 to 22nd verse now, the prayer of Kardam Muni to Lord. So when he saw the Lord, then the description of the Lord in 3 verses. And this is the second verse of prayer of Swayambhu Manu. So what now we should the scene is said that Bindu Sarovar, Saraswati River, Kardam Muni is doing austerities. He is very simple, austere, Satya Yuga, and then he has Lord Vishnu appearing on the Garuda and is standing in the air, the lotus feet resting on the shoulders of the Garuda, and then he saw that, and this is the second prayer which we are now reading. So let us read this prayer of Kardam Rishi, the father of Kapil Dev, to Lord Vishnu.
ye mayaya te hatame dattva
ye mayaya te hatame dattva
padaravindam bhava sindhu potam upasate kamalavayate sham rasesha kamanu nirye apite suya ye mayaya te hatale dasatva palaravindam bhavachindu potam upasate kamalavayate sham rasesha kamanirye nidyapi yesuya ye mayaya te hagame dasatva palaravindam bhava sindhu potam upasate kamalavayate sham ashish kaman niryapi yasoya
second line, focus on second line. Padaravinda bhava sindhu potam. Padaravinda means lotus feet. Bhava sindhu means the material ocean. Potam means boat. My dear Lord, your lotus feet are boat to cross the material ocean. Okay. Very similar line is spoken by demigods in prayer to Sri Krishna before birth. Garbhastuti. They are saying, Tava pada potena mahasakritena. Your lotus feet are the boats. Who has made this boat? Mahasakritena, by the great devotees. So what is this boat of the lotus feet? You have not really bowed on the boat. You simply meditate on the boat. The lotus feet of Lord is a boat. You have not to bowed on that. You simply meditate on that. And mahasakritena. This boat is actually designed by devotees. It's only devotees. Mahatma, Mahatma means devotee. The saintly people, they have actually found this boat to cross over this world. So when they cross over, they leave the boat behind for the other people to go. So what is this boat? It is described in the 10th canto. This boat is the process of devotional service. This boat is a process of devotional service. So devotional service to the lowest feet of Supreme Lord is a boat to carry everybody across the material world safe. And the next line is, this material world, the ocean of the material world becomes as similar as the hoof of the car. So material world becomes so small for the devotee if he meditated on the lotus feet of Lord. So this one line, Pada Aravinda, Pada means feet and Aravinda means lotus. So your lotus feet, Bhava Sindhu Potam, is a boat to cross the material ocean. Right? But Ye Mayate Hata Medhasa. But most of the people are illusioned Maya. Ye means those who are illusioned by Maya. Then what is their intelligence? Hatta medhasas. They have intelligence polluted. Hatta medhasa and alpa medhasa are same thing. Demigods worshippers are called alpa medhasa. So hatha medhata means their intelligence is polluted. Hatha medhata, whose intelligence is lost. Hatha. So your lotus feet are a good boat to cross over the material ocean, but people are illusioned by Maya and their intelligence is lost. So what they are doing, they are coming to you. Upasate kama lavayate sham. Upasate, they worship you. For what? Kama lavaya. Lavaya means love, matra means very trivial. Very love. Love means just blanking of eye. Yes, love matra. Upasate kama lavaya tesham. They are only worshipping you for trivial things. You can give them the boat to cross the material world, but they are simply worshipping you for something trivial within this material world. And then the companion is said, Rasa, Isha, Supreme Lord, you are giving them. Kama. But such thing which they are asking from you are Nirya. Nirya pikesu. Nirya means hell. They are available even for the people who are in the hell. In other words, the illusion people lost their intelligence. And they are asking from you, Supreme Lord, benediction of enjoyment which is easily available in hell. And you can really give them a free voyage back to Godhead, but they are asking something. What actually, in a common sense, it means that a prime minister come in your temple and ask, so what do you want? And you say, give us one dozen banana. This is what this verse actually means. This verse, this is one dozen banana you ask from prime minister, You see, Supreme Lord, and you ask something, material benefit which is available even in the hell. Is it what's clear now? Your lotus feet are the true vessel, which means boat. To take one across the ocean of mundane nuisance, bhava, sindhu. Bhava means where love, where birth and death takes place regularly. That's called bhava. Bhava means the place of repeated birth and death. And the name of Lord Shiva is also bhava. His wife is Bhavani, which is in charge, which is because she is in charge of this bhava, so she is Bhavani. So this is bhava sindhu. Sindhu means ocean. The ocean of repeated birth and death. Only person deprived of their intelligence, hatha medasa, by spell of illusory energy, tava mayaya, will worship those feats with view of to attain the tribal and momentary pleasures of the senses, which are even persons rotting in hell can attain. However, O my Lord, you are so kind that you bestow mercy even upon them. After this verse, next verse, Kardam will say, look in my heart, I have a desire to marry a match girl. So what I am saying is not good, I am asking that, because you will also give that to me. Next verse is exactly the desire of the Kardamun to marry. So first two drops of the tear fell from the Lord Vishnu's eyes to see his austerities. And then when he looked into the heart of the Kardamun, after 10,000 austerities, he wanted to really enter into the material world, then again two drops fell from Lord Vishnu. So Bindu Sarovar become double Bindu. But then Lord said, okay, I can see what is in your heart, so Lord arranged that all thing, and then said, even after that you will never forget me and come to me. So he gave blessing. So one thing we have to learn here is this verse is very clear. Now everything is clear. You can give the best benediction, but we are looking for cheap things which are even available to the people in hell. So what is the difference between worship of Supreme Lord and also asking material benediction, and for worshiping the demigod and asking material benediction? What is the difference between the two? The same thing, both are alpha medsa, both are hatha medsa. Both are discretion. What is the difference between the two? Yeah, he also gives benediction, and demigods also give benediction. They give benediction. So what is the difference between the two?
Krishna
will provide only happiness, not distress. Why? The Panduas were in so much distress. All the devotees are always having distress. That's good. No.
Krishna's
religion
will give
devotion
to him.
One line. Remember one line. When we ask some material thing from Krishna, in the process of giving that benediction, Krishna purifies the desire of a person. By the time he gets that benediction, is not interested in that. That's what the duty of Krishna's benediction is. In the process, he purifies the heart of a devotee. This is what Chaitanya Charitamrita said. Amrit chhari vish mange. The fool, this is actually a definition of this verse. Amrit chhari vish mange. I am giving them nectar and they are asking for vishaya. Vishaya means sense enjoyment. That is vision. So Amrit chhari vish mange, ami nahi murakh. Krishna says, I am not fool. Why should I give him poison? I will give him nectar. I am not fool, they are fool. They are illusion by Maya. Krishna is not illusion by Maya. So who is illusion by Maya? The people are illusion by Maya. But Vishnu is not illusion by Maya. Why give them that pleasure which is detrimental to their purpose of life? You never give that. So he purifies the desire in the process. Supreme Lord purifies the desire. Dhruva Maharaj went for the great desire to get a kingdom bigger than his father. But in the process his desire was purified. He said, I don't need that kingdom. Better than that I don't need. Because after seeing you, I have no desire of this material world. You are a diamond I got and I was looking for the pieces of glass. That is how the desire fulfilled by Supreme Lord purify the heart of the devotee. But still Krishna gave them that desire to fulfill, but now he is fulfilling that desire with detachment. He has no attachment to that activity. He is ruling, but he has no attachment. So same thing he is doing, but then now there is no attachment. There is no bondage. So this is the difference. This is the difference between the two. When the Prabhupada will come across certain Prabhupada's teachings, so is this verse clear? Kardamuni is saying something. But which category we are falling into this? Upasate kam lavayate sham. We are in this category. Right? Well, it's right, it's okay. So Srila Prabhupada's purport starts with, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 7th chapter, there are two kinds of devotees. So what are these two kinds of devotees? What is the 7th chapter Prabhupada is quoting here? Chatur vidha bhajate maam janha sukratin arjuna arto jigyasur artharthi jnani. They are all devotees with many desires. And there are other devotees that don't need anything, ananya, they are ananya bhakti. So there are both type of devotees are described in Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada is simply saying that people, so those who desire nothing but serve the Lord, there are two. The one group desire and the other group have no desire. Material pleasure can be attained even by hogs and dogs. Those condition of life is hellish. So here, niryate means hellish. Srila Prabhupada is comparing on this planet, the enjoyment which is for dogs and hogs is hellish. So this is what is hellish, actually, enjoyment. They are happy. So the hog also eats, sleeps and enjoys sex life in the full extent and is also very satisfied with such hellish enjoyment of material existence. Very happy. This story, you know, once Indra was cursed to become a hog. And he has a nice hog, she-hog wife and 4 or 5 small hog children and living in a really maybe 5-star hotel's sewage. And he was so happy. Brahma said, now his time of curse is over. So Brahma already came. He said, hey, hog Indra, please come back. He said, where? The heavenly planet, you are Indra. Yeah, I am Indra of this sewage. This is my pleasure groove I am enjoying here. See my family? How fat we are? No problem. So Indra was not ready to leave that hellish condition. He was enjoying there. He was very happy there. So Brahma has really to kill him. Because he has to get him out from that condition. He is not ready to leave that condition. So this is what Srila Prabhupada is saying. They are also happy in their own way. But that happiness, I mean, as a human being, how we look at their happiness. What is your opinion about the hell's life? Hell is horrible, right? Hell is horrible. It's eating is too. But they are happy. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, when he went to Burma for preaching, so they were cooking in pure ghee, bhoga for an offering, and they never, next door they complained. Say, what is this terrible smell? We are not able to breathe. They asked, so, how you really eat your food? You say, oh, all this animal which die, we put them in a big container for over an year, and after then, when they are completely rotted, we use them for frying our food, and there is a very pregnant smell. This is the answer they gave, and they are doing it. And for them, the fragrance of ghee was hellish. They are happy with their own fragrance. Once a fisherwoman, she happened to come to a house of a florist. She has to stay overnight there. She said, I cannot sleep in this house. There's so much bad smell of flowers. I can only peacefully sleep if there are rotten fishes around me. That's what her opinion was. She could not sleep in that place. So this is the situation. So they are also happy in their own world, knowing that it is not good, but still they are happy. All those people who drink wine, they think they are enjoying. All those people who smoke, they think they are enjoying. But they also know they are damaging their health. They know it, but still they think they are enjoying. So this is the situation. So Prabhupada thinks these hearts and dogs, they are also enjoying. They are enjoying more freely than human beings. They don't need a house or something. Anywhere they want to eat, whatever they want to eat, no problem. They are more freedom than human beings. We have so many restrictions. Even on the red light, the dog and heart will not stop. They will just go. They are not worried about your life. They are very happy in their own world. So next line, Srila Prabhupada writes, modern yogis, now Prabhupada is actually preaching in the Western world, modern yogis advise that because one has senses, one must enjoy to the fullest extent like cats and dogs, yet one can go on and practice yoga. So Prabhupada is pointing to one particular popular person at that time. And he was saying, enjoy as much as you like, and then still you can practice yoga. So it's not, Prabhupada is not quoting the name, but it's very clear to whom he is pointing. So enjoy, because his philosophy is, you enjoy senses to the extent that you will be fed up of that. But Bhagavatam says, the more you enjoy, the more you will crave for their enjoyment. More craving will start. And the example given is, when there's an itch, if you scratch the itch, it only increases. It's not by scratching the itch anybody is cured? No. So, Bhagavan said that scratching the itch only you get more pain and blood will come out, it will never heal. So their philosophy is very dangerous and distorted. And there's another question. All day do you do any nonsense you want to? You want to smoke 10, do you start doing 20? Because then you will die early. You will be saved from much misery, right? So such yogis are actually cheating people. This is condemned here by Sarva Muni. He says that such material pleasures are available for the cats and dogs in hellish condition. The Lord is so kind that if so-called yogis are satisfied by hellish pleasures, He can give them facilities to attain all the material pleasures they desire. But they cannot attain the perfectional stage attained by the Kardam Muni. But Srila Prabhupada is writing here, if really they want enjoyment, then Krishna will give them enjoyment. Which enjoyment Krishna will give them? The further down when the purport will come across, they want enjoyment. But there is a restriction in human life. But they want more enjoyment. Then why to waste the human life? I'll give them beautiful life of monkey to enjoy freely. So Prabhupada in Australia was morning walk, he found somebody in the ocean and doing like this. He asked the devotees accompanying, said, what he's doing? Srila Prabhupada is fishing. See, why is wasting human life? This he can do as a crane. He can stay and shoom, eat fish. And why is you wasting a human form of life 2 hours just doing like this, fishing? This human life is for that purpose? What he is doing is wasting his human form of life for something which is available even to the cranes. Bagla, huh? He is wasting the life. So such people are giving that life because they want that. So Krishna is all merciful, he fulfills everybody's desire. So this is next para, Srila Prabhupada writes, they will not get perfection of kardam. That yogis will not get Kapil Devas' son. That yogis will not be detached from the material bondage. They will go to the hellish enjoyment. Hellish and demonic persons do not actually know what is the ultimate attainment in perfection, and therefore they think that sense gratification is the highest goal of life. They are practicing yoga, but they don't know what is the purpose of yoga. The purpose of the yoga is perfection. Perfection is the purpose of yoga. And what is that perfection? Samadhi. It means in a state when we see Supreme Lord within the heart. But modern, all the yoga institutes, out of the 8 limbs of yoga, there are 8 limbs of the yoga and 8 perfections of yoga. And in one of the purports, Srila Prabhupada writes, Kardam Muni was perfect yogi. He has all the 8 limbs of the yoga perfected, and he has all the 8 yogic siddhis. We will see here, he had made the palace which was flying in the air. So he has the yogic siddhis. He become 9 out of 1. He has that perfection. So he has perfection of the yoga, which is described in the coming chapters. Devahuti was also practicing yoga. That's what the next verse says like this. The word, 2 words are there. So Ashtanga yoga means yoga has 8 limbs, and if somebody has perfected, then he will get Ashtashiddhi. He will get 8 perfections. So first and second ang of yoga is yam and nem. Yam means what not to do, and nem means what to do. So rules and regulations, do's and don'ts. Third is asana, which means different postures. One can, the whole purpose is we can control the body and stay at one place in one position for over 2 hours without any destruction of natural cause. That is the purpose of asana actually. That at least 2 hours we can sit at one place without even moving little bit. That is the purpose of asana, to practice. To practice to control the senses. Then the fourth is pranayama. To control the breath, to control mind. So asana is to control the senses and pranayama is to control the mind. So now sense and mind control. These are the four angas. Then there is a pratyahara. Pratyahara means giving up unnecessary things. Pratyahara. The things which are not necessary, just keeping aside. Dharana, dhyana, samadhi. Three more. Dharana, dhyana, samadhi. So five first are outer. The three inner are, they are called internal. Because they are the level of mind which is peaceful. Now present yoga system, only 2 angs of the yoga they are practicing. Asana and pranayama. No pratyahar, no yam, no name, no dhyana, no dharana. Only asana and pranayama. Why? To control the body and mind? No. To become fit for more enjoyment. So this is the goal of yoga. They don't know what they are doing. Why they are doing yoga? To become more fit. Why? For what? More enjoyment. Not for pratyahar, but for but for parivar, na pratyahar, parivar. So this yoga is called bhoga, yoga bhoga. They are called bhogi yoga. The yoga's purpose is bhoga. The purpose is they are cheating it, so they don't know what is the purpose of yoga. The only asana pranayama, everywhere yoga means asana pranayama, that's all. But there is no foundation of the yoga, yam and nem. So without foundation, just only the purpose is defeated of the yoga by them. So these yogis, they advise that one can satisfy the senses at the same time by reciting some mantra and by some practice can cheaply aspire for perfection. They used to say some mantra. You chant this mantra, practice some breath exercise, and then you smoke, you drink, you have illicit sex, whatever, you will get perfection. So one person was smoking cigarette, he was having a lot of coughs, and every doctor was saying, you give up smoking and then only you will get free from cough. He said, I cannot do really that. It's not difficult. It's difficult for me. So one wise, actually, Ved came there, a spiritual healer. He said, oh, no problem, you continue or maybe double your smoking, still I will give you medicine, you will get perfection. Say, what benefit is your medicine along with smoking? He said, in your life, in the street, nobody, no dog can bark on you. No dog will bark on me, yes. No thief can dare to come in your home. Oh, so much benefit of your medicine, yes. You will never become old. Oh, very good. I will not stop smoking and you will give medicine. No dog can bark on me, no thief can come in my house and I will never become old. Very good. Then he asked him, how it happens by your medicine and also smoking, how it happens? He said, because after smoking more and taking my medicine, you cannot really walk straight, so you need some stick to walk. So dog will never bark with a stick in a hand. The white thief will not come because your cup in the night will be so horrible that in your neighborhood no thief can dare to come. Whole night you will come. Then why I cannot become old? Because you will die young. So these yogis are giving this type of medicine. You will not stop. You don't stop Sanskrit if you can. You chant our mantra and then you will be benefited. So you will never see old age. And that's what their advice is. So it's an interesting way they are selling their goods. So Prabhupada is saying they are actually cheating the people. Cheaply perfection. They think they will get cheap perfection. Such persons are described here as hatta medhasaha, which means those whose brains are spoiled. Spoiled brain, polluted brains, hatta medhasaha. They aspire for material enjoyment by practice of yoga or meditation. In Bhagavad Gita is stated by the Lord that the intelligence of those who worship the demigods has been spoiled. Similarly, here too it is stated by the Kardam Muni that one who aspires after material enjoyment by practice of yoga has spoiled his brain substance and school number one. So what Prabhupada is comparing here, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, his statement. Hrta jnanaha prapandyante anya devataha. Hrta jnanaha. So Vashud Jenga alpa medhasaha. Here Kardam Muni, another devotee of the Lord, is saying yogis who are doing yoga practice for sense enjoyment are also hatha medhasaha. So there are the karmis going to demigods, and here Krishna is saying that, and Kardam Muni is saying the yogi practicing yoga for sense enjoyment are hatha medhasa. Their intelligence is polluted or spoiled. Okay? So it means the demigod worshippers and the present day so called yogi are in the same category. One is put in this category by Krishna and Bhagavad Gita, and the others are put in this category by Kardam Muni. The yogi, perfect yogi, is saying they are making the fake yoga. Because he is yogi, he can see their yoga is very. That yoga is not for perfection of the purpose of yoga, but for sense enjoyment. Similarly, there too, it is stated by the Kardam Muni that one who aspires after material enjoyment for practice of yoga has spoiled his brain, substance and food number one. Actually, the intelligent practitioner of yoga should aspire for nothing else but to cross over the ocean of nascence by worshipping the personality of the Godhead and to see the lotus feet of the Lord. So Kardam Muni says the purpose of the yoga is to meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord to cross the material ocean. The purpose of yoga is to meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord to cross over the material ocean. The Lord is so kind, however, that even today, persons whose brain substance is spoiled are given the benediction to become cats, dogs, and hogs and enjoy material happiness from sex life and sense gratification. The Lord comes from this benediction in Bhagavad Gita. Whatever person aspires to receive from me, I offer him as he desires. Ye yatha maham prabhajyante. So if they desire enjoyment, then Krishna will put them in the life of cat, dance and hearts to enjoy unrestricted all the facilities. Hare Krishna. He ends the purpose. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anybody has a question or comment? Yes.
We practice the sadhana bhakti, but Krishna has a lot of confusion. And Krishna says in fulfilling the desire, you don't know what is our desire, how we are practicing, tremendous courage, sort of churning going on. We still know where the direction is, how do we really understand it? What's going to be our destination?
Why we join this kind, you ask from yourself. Why we join these spiritual institutes? Here, when we teach to the student, you first write down why join. Everybody say we join to develop love of Krishna, right? Everybody knows that why we join. Krishna prem. Are we really focusing on that goal? It should be a written sticker everywhere around us. We are practicing Krishna consciousness to awaken love of God, to awaken Krishna prem. We should remind us that this is the purpose we have joined. Then we can really analyze, are we really focusing on that goal and progressing on that path, or we are having a vivasaya atmika buddhi? We have vivasaya or bahusakha buddhi? So now our buddhi, our intelligence, bahusakha. And to make it vivasayatma, we must have a goal in front of us every day. So write down, everywhere we are sitting, we are practicing Krishna consciousness to awaken our love of Krishna. We should remind ourselves that what is our goal. We should not really be distracted from our goal and go here and there. So this could be every day's meditation. Why we have joined? What is our purpose? If we become really vigilant, then we can have a vivasaya atmika buddhi. So for the devotee, vivasaya atmika buddhi, I join this spiritual discipline to awaken my relationship with Krishna, and that should be based on the loving service. So that should be a slogan which it should be every time in our mind to meditate. Otherwise, this mind from many lifetimes says, mind of a man is like a old good buddy friend which knows what our weaknesses, and he will really come at that particular point and say, hey, Hare Krishna, you are chanting for 15 years, what is the problem? Leave it for a while, you are here for a few years, why don't you enjoy? So this mind is our really old friend, and he knows all our weaknesses. Whenever we are little slack, it will just come and sit in front of our table and offer a glass of wine, please enjoy today, what is the problem? One devotee, before becoming devotee, he used to go to the bar and he used to ask two glasses of wine. And he was cheering and then drinking. So waiter asked, why are you asking two? Say, one for my brother, for one for me. He's not here, so I'm... After 2-3 months, he only ordered one glass. So waiter say, I have no right to ask, but what happened to your brother? He's all right. Then why are you not asking too? See, I have become Krishna conscious. I am not drinking. I am not drinking. I have become devotee. How can I drink? But it's my brother. I am this. So this mind is so tricky. If we have a little desire, it will make it really full drama scene, and we will think, oh, we are doing very right. How can I really forget my brother? So this goal we should make very clear in our life. Why really we are practicing Krishna consciousness? In this one life we have to achieve this. We should be more determined that we should not bhungsva durbuddhe. Bhungsva durbuddhe par anam durlabham janmani puna puna. This is a negative way of saying mind, to the mind, then the person says to the mind, a durbuddhi, a polluted intelligence, enjoy as much as you eat par anam durlabham. How can you find somebody else free food? Eat it as much as you like. Par anam durlabham. You cannot get really free food. Eat as much as you like. Janam punapada. Getting life, man, hey, again you can get another life, but you will not get a free thing again. So enjoy it. Durbuddhi bhumsma par anam durlabham. Janam puna puna, you get again body, what is a problem? So this is a negative aspect. So we should be very vigilant really. But in this life, we have to finish. But 99 point, even among devotees, this desire has not really become very, because tibar desire, tibarena bhakti yogena, tibar means very, strong. This desire has not really become strong in our heart here in that way, that our goal is to reach to the Krishna prem. This desire is not really having more, this desire is less strong than the other desire. So this is a little weakness. We have to be more vigilant in our desires. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Something from nectar of instruction, nectar of devotion. Which one? This one. This pair. This tight knot of the false ego, that's called gramsi. Chidjanti gramsi. When we practice devotional service, the knot is cut. What is that knot? The knot is called false ego. The gramsi is false ego. The tight knot of the false ego is due to ignorance. So what is the true ego? I am servant of Krishna is true ego, and I am master of this world is a false ego. I am the master of Krishna. So the true ego is I belong to Krishna. False ego is everything belongs to me. Me and mine is false ego. Me and mine is false ego. As long as one is ignorant about his identity, Swarupa, Jivara Swarupa Krishna Ranitya Das, that is the identity, he is sure to act wrongly and thereby become entangled in material contamination. So if one is not working for the benefit of soul, there is a real identity, then he will work only for the benefit of body, which will make him more entangled in material world. Everybody is what everybody is doing? Anartha. They are doing anartha. This Vyasa screen, everybody is doing anartha. Which means they are simply interested in the needs of the body and they have forgotten the needs of the soul. And then he says, how the unearth can be mitigated? Anartha upasamanam, he compiled Bhagavatam. So by this Bhagavatam, they will practice the needs of the soul. So Bhagavat is an education and a business of soul. While the all other education and service is a education for the maintenance of the body. So we have to have both. So the one everybody has forgotten, the education of the soul. This ignorance is of factual knowledge. This ignorance of factual knowledge can be dissipated by Krishna consciousness, as is confirmed in Padma Purana as follows. Pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness is the highest enlightenment. And when such enlightenment is there, it is just like a blazing forest fire, killing all the inauspicious snakes of the desire. This example is being given in this connection that when there is a forest fire, the extensive blessing automatically kills all the snakes in the forest. There are many snakes on the ground of the forest, and when a fire takes place, it burns and dries foliage, and the snakes are immediately attacked. Animals who have four legs can flee from the fire or can at least try to flee, but the snakes are immediately killed. Similarly, the blazing fire of Krishna consciousness so strong that snakes of ignorance are immediately killed. So here the desires are compared to the snakes. And what is the nature of snake? Envious. Envious, angry and envious. So this envy and anger which is within us because of the non-fulfillment of desires, it needs really to be burned to the ashes by forest fire. Krishna consciousness is a forest fire. Sansara dava nal nirda lokas. Dava nal means forest fire. So it's a mercy. Krishna consciousness is a mercy of Krishna. Those who get this mercy is a rain. Krishna consciousness is a rain which can stop the forest fire. And what is in Krishna consciousness most powerful to stop this snake-like desires? Most powerful tool of the Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada's word is chanting of the holy name. Harinam Sankirtan is the most powerful blazing fire. That is the most powerful tool. The more Sankirtan we do, the more prasad we distribute, then we will be successful in controlling our material desires. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Prabhupada ki.